When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First Take. I'm Christine Williamson here for Molly. We've got Stephen A. We've got Shannon Sharp and my girl, Andrea Carter, here to start this fine Monday morning off. How are we feeling, everyone? Feeling good?
Feeling good.
Awesome. How y'all doing?
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right,
feeling
let's
great.
Start things.
Feeling great.
Let's start things off in the association. Happy birthday, Jason Tatum. He had 27 points on his 26th birthday. Well, Jaylen Brown scored 29 points as the NBA best. Boston Celtics posted their third largest winning margin in franchise history, demolishing the Golden State Warriors 140-88 on Sunday. Boston led by a franchise record of 44 points at halftime, pushed it to 51 early in the third. Jaylen, how did that one feel?
It feels great, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's always within humility. At any given point, you know, that could be us, and, you know, we don't take the game for granted. We didn't come out and mess around, and that's just how, you know, we show our respect to the game, is that we handle business and take care of it, but we don't do it arrogantly. We do it with humility, and it's a lot of respect for the Golden State Warriors, but we feel like it's our time now.
You flush it down the toilet. We had a great road trip, 3-1. We've had a million games. So Boston was amazing. We weren't beating them today. So we head home and get ready for Wednesday.
So this is now the Celtics' third win by 50 points this season, setting a new NBA record. The wins have been over the Nets, the Pacers, and now the Warriors last night. All three have come at home, where the Celtics are averaging an NBA best 15-point margin of victory. All right, friends, Stephen A., I'm going to start with you on this one. What does a win like this say about the Celtics?
They're putting the league on notice. Here they come. And that, you know, they're coming out of the East. They're coming here. They're focused on winning an NBA championship. I know that yesterday's game, we've seen 50-point losses before. Andrea, Shannon, what we haven't seen is a team being down 45 in the first half. There's only 24 minutes in the first half. It's only 24 minutes. I mean, that's what I was trying to say. It wasn't the fact that they lost by 52. It wasn't the fact that they were down by damn near 50 before it was over and they ultimately lost by 52 points. It was the fact that it was a 45-point deficit in the first half. There's levels to this. And the Boston Celtics are on it. They won 11 straight. They haven't lost since February 4th. They're 48-9-12. And then you look at them. Top three defensively, top three offensively, not one but two stars. One's a superstar as far as I'm concerned. The other tinkers towards it in Jaylen Brown. We know what Tatum and Brown brings to the table. There was no Porzingis yesterday. This 7'3" dude that has been shooting 48% from the field in this winning streak and averaging about 23, 24 points, he wasn't even playing yesterday. It was that kind of romp, that kind of annihilation, that kind of beatdown, and you just look at the rest of the Eastern Conference and you say, my God, who can mess with them? Who can beat them? Then you look at the West and you're saying, who can deal with them outside of the Denver Nuggets? That's the question right there, and I think that's what this comes down to. Boston recognizes what it's all about, and they had a nationally televised audience, Jason Tatum's birthday, and they just put everybody on notice. This year's a bit different. We understand what this is all about, and we're not getting caught up in the sauce. We're here to make noise against everybody that we can at every moment we can.
For me, Stephen A., I hear you on all of those points, but this is a Golden State Warriors team that we've seen struggle all season long on the back end of a long road trip in which they got three wins on the road trip. Steph Curry didn't know if he was going to play. Pajimski's out. Wiggins is out. The rotations are off. Even in the first half, when you're missing two players, your rotations are off. The Warriors looked empty. There are different caveats and asterisks to even the first half of the Warriors' performance. I believe the Celtics, the statement that they're making is the stretch that they're on. But that game against a depleted, empty Warriors team that didn't even give much in the second half at all is not the statement. The statement is the stretch. The statement is not the game. I can't put too much on this game. You heard what Steve Kerr said after the game. They're going to flush it completely. Steph, Draymond, Klay didn't even play in the second half. The main lineup in the second half, that was their first time playing together all season long, having that specific lineup. So I'm not putting too much on this game. I will put a lot on the Celtics stretch because it's been phenomenal the way they've been able to play. But this game, I'm not putting anything on this particular game.
Andrea, did Steph and Draymond play in the first half? You say they didn't play the entire second half, but did they play the first half? But see, I don't let Steve Kerr have it both ways. Now, when they win ball games, we can beat anybody and we can challenge for a championship. But when you get the break drums beat off you, now all of a sudden it was a tough road stretch. Oh, and now all of a sudden we just flushed that one away. I'm not going to let you do that. And you're right, Stephen A. They play without Porzingis. What Porzingis is, he's like a couple of drops of water in my cognac, Shea by LaPortier. He opens it up. He allows the whole floor to open up, and it expands Jason Tatum. It expands Jaylen Brown. And even though they didn't have him yesterday, they were still sensational. They made a conscious decision. They say, you know what? Jason Tatum, Stephen A., he's their superstar. We're going to sag off Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown says, you know what? I'm a professional. As a matter of fact, I have the highest contract. I make $304 million. And this is the disrespect y'all going to show me? Y'all going to sag off by 6 to 10 feet, go up under screens, and allow me to shoot wide open, uncontested threes? How disrespectful is that? And then y'all going to put these little small guys, Steph Curry, on me? Really? Really? Is that what y'all think? I did go back-to-back to back-to-back All-Star games. You're right. You want to say this game doesn't mean much. They beat the Golden State Warriors by 50. But the last five games, they won by an average of 30. They won 11 straight, 13 of 16. Stephen A., we had this conversation last week, and the question was, are the Boston Celtics on a tier by themselves? I say, as we currently speak, absolutely. The playoffs will be a different story. They know they must show up, show out during the playoffs. But as we sit here right now, ain't nobody close to them in the Eastern Conference. No. And the only team that I think that can give them a problem is what I saw on Saturday night. Because Jokic is the MVP, and now you got Murray doing his thing, especially in clutch time. But the Boston Celtics is a step above everybody.
Well, let's not forget that Denver rolled up into Boston and beat Boston earlier this year. So let's not forget that either. But before I move on, let's make sure we understand and crystallize my man Shay Shay's comment. What's that cognac you mentioned? I mean, what's that cognac? We can't just throw it. What is it?
it's called Shay by LaPortier. It's a VSOP, very special old pale.
Shay by LaPortier?
That's what it is. And a couple of drops of water added.
Give me some of that. Give me some of that. Make sure I... Hey, give me some of that later.
I'm talking to my team.
They're going to call you to make sure I get some. I want some. How's it not been here yet? We're going to talk about that later. That's breaking news. How the hell? I'm supposed to have some by now. But that's a different story for another day. But I'm going to send it to your boy.
Gotcha.
Let me say this.
Gotcha.
Let me say this, Andre. Listen, I get where you're coming from, and I understand that you're not pointing to just one game. I totally understand. Understand that. My only point is, like Shannon said, I brought up the first half. I ain't bring up the game. Now, you've watched a lot of basketball. You know basketball. We haven't seen somebody get their ass kicked by 45 points in the first half. Only 24 minutes.
Nah.
It's only 24 minutes. 45 down, 45 in the first half. I mean, that is a statement. And I think that we can't ignore that.
So the first half is a statement, and the stretch that the Celtics are on is a statement. The game is not a statement. The 50-point win, that's not the statement. First half is a great statement. The stretch they're on is an even better statement.
All I brought up was the first half.
I
didn't say anything about nothing else. All I brought up was the first half. My job was to watch the game. This first take, my dear. I mean, I'm saying we make the rules up. This is what we do. You know what I'm saying? This is what we do. And I'm sitting
you
here watching
rules.
This game.
You make the
I'm
rules.
Watching
I
this
answer
game.
The question.
That's right. That's right. I'm watching this game yesterday, and I'm like, my God. Oh, like let me go eat. This is unbelievable. I couldn't believe the beatdown after halftime. I didn't even bother watching the second half. But go ahead.
Let's put this in context then. Okay, Golden State scores 88 points in the entire game. Boston had 82 at the half. So even if you want to make it about, let's just say 26 minutes, The Boston Celtics still would have beat the Golden State Warriors had they played the full, they played the full 48 minutes. It's still, you have Steph Curry, you have Draymond, and I understand Andrew Wiggins is dealing with personal problems and he's back and he's away from the team and they don't know when he's going to come back. But to still, to allow a team to go on a 61-17 run, at some point in time, you got a pinch, you got a trip, you just call, I blow through all my timeouts. What'd they give you, Stephen A? Seven in a game? Well, I'm using five of them in the first half. I got two, hey guys, I got two timeouts the second half. So y'all got to do something. Y'all got to stop the bleeding because right now we're hemorrhaging out here. It was bad, and I've never seen Steph and Draymond look so dejected. Yes, they've lost games before, but this is a very proud franchise. Now, you talk about a team that's won four championships in the last 7-8 years, and for them to lose in this fashion, it's not easy to digest. You can say, oh, it's just another game. It's the beginning of March. We're coming off a long road trip. But you remember getting beat by 50.
All right, let's leave that conversation there because I want to talk about something that's a little bit more important, at least in my eyes.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Another record that was broken this weekend. Ponytail Pete, that is one Caitlin Clark, scored 35 points in her final regular season home game, becoming the NCAA's all-time scoring leader, passing Pistol Pete Maravich in number 6 Iowa's 93-83 win over number 2 Ohio State on Sunday. Clark made 2 free throws with less than a second left in the first half to eclipse Maravich's 3,667 career points. Clark now has 3,685 points heading into the postseason. How has this run been, Caitlin?
It's been a lot, but this is what's so fun and so special, and like this is what we've built here, and these are the moments you dream of, and you know, obviously our fans were incredible. It kind of feels like you're living in a little bit of delusion because this is just so awesome, and like honestly, if you would have told me that before my college career started, I would have laughed in your face and been like, no, you're insane. Just to be in the same realm of all these players that have been so successful, whether it's Pete or whether it's Kelsey Plum or Lynette Woodard, like all these people have just given so much to the game. So, you know, hopefully somebody comes after me and breaks my records and I can be there supporting them. And that's what makes the game of basketball so fun. But yeah, it'll definitely hit me at some point.
So good. Caitlin Clark now stands alone as the all-time D1 points leader, but it's not her only entry in the record book. She also holds the Big Ten record for three-pointers and 28 shy of the D1 women's record, and she's the only woman or men's player with 3,000 points and 1,000 assists. Dre, I'm going to start with you on this one. What do you think Caitlin Clark's legacy is?
Wow. I mean, Caitlin Clark is the best scorer that the college game has seen. She simply is. It's her ability to finish inside the paint. It's her deep range. It's her logo threes. It's the way that she shoots, the way she pulls up off the dribble, going full speed. I know she broke the record on a free throw, and that's fine. She's supposed to hit free throws. But Caitlin Clark can score in a wide variety of ways, going left, going right, off the dribble, full speed. She's the best scorer the game has seen. That's why she has passed the record on the men's and women's side. And people talk about how, you know, Pete didn't have a three-point line, and I understand that. But because there's a three-point line and Caitlin's range has shown throughout her career, she's the best scorer in my opinion, and she is the most impactful player the college game has seen. It's in part because she's been there for 4 years. Men's college players that come on the scene and set records and score a ton, they don't stay for 4 years. That's not how it works on the men's side. Caitlin Clark is the most impactful player the college game has seen.
There's a magnetism to her, and I think that that's the part that can't be ignored here. You know, you could do great, great things on the collegiate level in any sport, whether it's women or men's, and people will notice it. People will pay attention to it. They'll record, they'll chronicle it. But when you are a figure that seems and appears to embrace it all with such class and dignity, and in the same breath going out there on a night in, night out basis and just performing on an elite level where you're the focus, everybody's coming at you, particularly when you consider what she did this season in the aftermath of losing in the national championship game to Angel Reese and LSU and Kim Mulkey and all of them, to come back this year and perform the way that she performed. This is the amazing part of all of this, Shannon and Andrea. Not only I've called her the Steph Curry of women's basketball, period, because I firmly believe that. When I saw her pulling up from the parking lot, for crying out loud, I'm like, that's who she is, okay? So I give her that love and respect, and obviously everybody knows I had the pleasure of meeting her and doing an event with her, and damn near 11,000 people showed up. It was bananas out there. It was crazy, okay? So that was a really, really enlightening experience as well in terms of the love and affection and adulation that they have for her. But then to know that you're a target, that you have that target on your back, and then to show up this year and perform the way that you did. Hey, y'all, this is the regular season. You still got the NCAA tournament coming. This girl's going after a national championship. We're literally sitting here right now and saying to ourselves, we have no choice. As large as she is, and she just surpassed Shedeur Sanders in terms of NIL money and all of this other stuff. I mean, the money that she's raking in. You got the WNBA, max deals are like $241,000. She's already worth over $3 million. This is who she is. The tournament hasn't even started yet. What if she wins the national title? What if this young lady wins the national title? And what if she does it by averaging over 30? Lord, I'm just saying, I've seen a lot. Listen, there's a lot of great ones. I mean, we're talking about the days of Cheryl Miller and Cheryl Swoops and Cynthia Cooper and Lisa Leslie, and the list goes on and on. You know, Della Don and everybody. I mean, Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird. Let me not forget the ladies. You know, I love them. The whole bit. This girl, Caitlin Clark, she has put everybody on notice, and she's putting women's basketball on the map in a way that we have not seen before, y'all. Look out. Look out.
Well, Stephen, I happen to be a historian of sports, and I go back to when La Tech won the first two national championships. And I remember when USC took them down. And I remember the great Texas team that took them down. And then all of a sudden you had the run with Tennessee and obviously UConn. And I've seen a lot of women play. And I've seen a lot of men play. She's the most complete offensive player in the college game has ever seen. No one could score the ball like she could and facilitate like she can. I've seen guys, Trey Young led the nation in scoring and assists. LaSalle Thompson, Xavier McDaniel led the nation in scoring and rebounding. We've never seen someone that could put the ball in the basket like she can and assist the ball like she can. She's box office. She's the most impactful. And look, I understand social media has a lot to do with this, but if you look at it, Stephen A., Andrea, as we sit here right now, I can name five women quicker than I can name five men in college basketball. Yeah. That's what she's done.
Yep.
We don't even talk about the – we've been talking about her the whole season. We haven't even mentioned the men's game. I couldn't name you five guys that play college basketball right now. But I can name you Juju Watkins. I can name you Angel Reese. I can name you Caitlin Clark. I can give you Cameron Brink. I can give you the young lady at South Carolina. I can't name five guys that play in college basketball, and I'm glad to see the evolution and people start to gravitate towards the women game. But when you watch her, and you mention all the greats, from Cheryl Miller, Clarissa Davis, and all those, Taurasi and Maya Moore, and Lynette Woodard, the great Kansas player, and without Lynette, you know, Lynette Woodard gets thrust back into the spotlight because of Caitlin Clark. People forgot about her. She was a Harlem Globetrotter. Stephen A., man, to watch this young lady play in the range in which she can shoot it, and she can take you off the dribble, she can put the ball on the floor, three-level player, she's going to go to the line and make them. Man, I'm glad a chance I got an opportunity to witness. And look at the people that you got going to her game. Yeah. Travis Scott, he went and said, hey, ma'am, I might need that jersey.
I'm mad I wasn't there yesterday. Seriously,
yes.
If I'm being honest.
That's what she's doing for the game. Shamiqua Holzclaw. We've had some great women players. But with the advent of social media now, it's hard for me to say someone has been more impactful than what she's done over the last 2 years. She's sensational, and she's handled it with grace. She's handled it with dignity. She's an easy root for. Hey. I'm glad that I got an opportunity. Probably won't get a chance to see a play in person, but I'm glad an opportunity got to see a play on television. Because, like I said, I go back to La Tech when they were winning it, and the Texas team that took them down. USC got taken down by Texas, and then we had that great run of Tennessee in the 80s and 90s, and then UConn came onto the scene, and we know what's happened since then. The Baylor team with Kim Mulkey. But Stephen A., Andrea, this young lady here, Caitlin Clark, boy.
Special.
She's easy on the eyes. Because when you see it, your eyes don't lie. I see better than I hear. I hear what people tell me, but I know what I saw.
Listen, Shannon, it's hard for you to say anybody's been more impactful because nobody has been more impactful. It just hasn't happened. And the thing about Caitlin Clark, for me, one, it was so special to see the Iowa crowd give Maya Moore and Lynette Woodard standing ovations. Maya and what she's done for the game, Lynette Woodard and what she's done for the game, to watch that crowd, a sold-out crowd, cheer for those two pillars of the women's game, it was a very special moment. For me, when you talk about GOATs in college basketball, if Caitlin wins a championship, it is not just that she won a championship. It's that she won a championship as the only five-star recruit on this Iowa team. We're not talking about Iowa in any conversation if Caitlin's not on this team, and you can't replace Caitlin with anyone else in the country on this team and expect them to have the same level of success. Right. That's what sets Caitlin apart. The point differential when she's on the floor is 31. When she's off the floor, it's 5. If she goes on to win a championship, she is in the GOAT conversation. I know teams have won 4. Breanna Stewart led an elite UConn team.
Yeah, we forgot
before.
Her. Yeah.
We've never seen that before.
But they got 10 5-stars.
Teams win back-to-back-to-back. We've seen teams, right? We've seen collective trios. We've seen collective duos win multiple championships. We've never seen one player lead a team with no other 5-stars to a national championship setting and passing men's and women's records. We haven't seen it.
Andre, I want to throw this by you before we go. I just thought about this. You know what this kind of reminds me of? Just a little bit.
Is it an NFL reference?
Nope. It is not.
Okay.
It reminds me of Larry Bird when he was coming out of Indiana State. He was so prolific. He was phenomenal. He was balling. And he had to go up against Magic at Michigan State with Kelsey and those boys. You know, and obviously we saw what Magic and those boys did. But the kind of momentum she's building – now that she's about to enter the NCAA tournament. Now it's not just about her record, y'all, because we know how great she is, and she's and now she's going to the WNBA, and the Indiana Fever already telling, you know, putting tickets on sales, get your tickets now. You know, the WNBA draft is only 46 days away at the time. They did all of that. All right, now that's fine. All of that's great and dandy. Now it's the NCAA tournament. And the backdrop is you lost the national championship last year to LSU. Imagine if you get back to that spot, okay? Imagine if it's LSU again. Although I suspect it will be South Carolina. Although I suspect it will be Dawn Staley and the crew waiting there for them. But I'm telling you right now, if she goes up there, it reminds me of Bird going into that national championship game against Magic in Michigan State. The kind of publicity, the notoriety, the hype that was associated with him, because it was him and everybody else. Michigan State had a crew with Magic. It was him and everybody else. We're going to see now. This is that kind of comparison, and I love it.
You know what? If she were to win the national championship, guys, she's going to have to do what Cheryl Swoops did. You remember Cheryl Swoops took that Texas Tech team? And you remember that? What, she had 48 in the championship game? But through that tournament, she was dropping like 30. And she's going, and Caitlin Clark is going to need to have games like that throughout. She's averaging, I think, 31, 32 right now.
Mm-hmm. 32.
To get in the championship game, she's going to have to do what Cheryl Swoops did, I think, against Ohio State, when I think she dropped 48 in the championship game.
Leading the nation in scoring and assists?
It would certainly be huge. Drea, I also
the only player to do that, Stephen A.
Yeah.
You guys absolutely killed it on game day yesterday leading into that game. It was really cool to see Caitlin meet Maya Moore because that was, you know, her idol. So it was really cool. Great job with that.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod, and have a fabulous day.
Our entire network has a heavy heart this morning. Award-winning journalist Chris Mortensen, who reported on the NFL for ESPN for more than three decades, died on Sunday morning at the age of 72. Mort, who was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer in January of 2016, stepped away from his role at ESPN last year to focus on his health, his family, and his faith. His impact on the sports world and our network will not be forgotten.
It's easier to ask someone about dying once he is broken free of its grasp, as my friend, my mentor, and my on-air partner, Chris Mortensen, once did. After Mort was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer in 2015, before fending it off in 2017, he was asked what he would think and what would go through his mind if he knew he were dying, as he almost did. Mort said he would think of all his incredible life experiences, how blessed he has been, even with the heartbreaks along the way. He also added he would be sad to say goodbye to the people he loved, but he would be going to a place of glory. Chris Mortensen was born in Torrance, California, outside of Los Angeles in 1951. He served 2 years in the Army during the Vietnam War, married his wife Mickey and raised his son Alex, and established himself as one of the greatest reporters of all time while being an even better man. Mort began his reporting career at his hometown newspaper, The Daily Breeze, before moving on to cover the Braves, Falcons, and the NFL at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. In 1990, he was among the first reporters hired for the all-sports newspaper, The National. Mort arrived at ESPN in 1991. He left behind the newspaper business to work on the NFL studio shows, SportsCenter, the NFL Draft, and ESPN Radio. He was the reporter who could get to the bottom of the most difficult stories, yet still be the biggest prankster at the network, capable of making any and everyone laugh.
Loosen up my shot and give me a little more headroom. We do not like a lot of face of me. That's actually in my contract, by the way.
Mort was the one who knowingly and wittingly set up former Colts executive Bill Tobin for one of the most memorable sound bites in NFL draft history.
You know, we got a guy up there. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way?
Mort impacted everyone he knew, often in ways he didn't even realize. A short time after Mort revealed he was battling stage 4 throat cancer and taking leave from ESPN, then Cardinals wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald scored a game-winning touchdown that advanced Arizona to the NFC Championship game. In the heady moments of his heroics, Fitzgerald still thought enough to send out a message to the man who had been on so many people's minds.
Mort, I'm gonna tell you, man, we're thinking about you and fight, baby. Love you, Mort.
Everyone did. After Mort checked into the hospital in 2016, Peyton Manning delivered the scoop of his retirement for Mort to report while he battled cancer. The Mannings had known and trusted Mort for so long that there was no other consideration for giving that story to anyone other than Mort. And yet, while he made his living reporting on some of the toughest guys in sports, nobody was any tougher than Mort himself. Mort battled back from a veritable death sentence. He endured intensive radiation treatments. He lost his hair, weight, but never his sense of humor, spirit, nor fight. He often showed up on TV when he was too tired and worn down to do it. It went on for years, like his own fight to regain his health. And yet, through the years, Mort remained ESPN's reporting conscience, its most senior and trusted voice. He had seen so much, knew so many, and established himself not only as one of the greatest football reporters in history, but one of the greatest sports reporters in history. It is just one reason why so many turned to him for guidance on stories that mattered, because he did. Mort was a pioneer in this business, one of the first reporters to transition from newspapers to TV, making it possible for so many others to follow a similar path. Fred Gedeli, the legendary producer of NFL games, once said that if there were a Mount Rushmore for ESPN, Mort unquestionably would be on it. Mort was nominated for 2 Pulitzer Prizes, wrote 2 highly acclaimed books, won 18 journalism awards, was selected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame as the Dick McCann Award winner in 2016, and became the only sports writer other than the great Red Smith to win the George Polk Award for reporting. But Mort really didn't need any awards to validate his greatness. Other aspects of a life well-lived already accomplished that. And here's the truth about a man we loved as much as we respected. If someone's life makes you sad when it ends, it's because it was wonderful when it happened. Mort truly was. He lived a life that touched so many others, full of faith and purpose, all leading to his ultimate and final accomplishment. Chris Mortensen is headed to his place of glory.
Really well done there by Adam Schefter. Dan Orlovsky joining SA and Shannon to talk about Mort's legacy. Dan, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, to your point, Christine, like the words by Shefty, who, dear friends of Mort, beautiful job. I was so thankful to get to know Mort just for a little bit. And I think that for a believer like myself, you take a little comfort in knowing that his steadfast faith in Jesus not only takes him out of the pain from cancer, but also he's home in heaven. And when the news broke yesterday, again, I'd only knew Mort a little bit, but when the news broke yesterday, for someone who is one of the greatest ever at their job, everybody on social media was talking about him as a person. And so, you know, thankful for the time. My thoughts are with his family. And he truly, like we say this a lot, like someone to try and emulate with our lives, because the impact that he had and the way that he walked and lived out his faith is something that certainly I will absolutely strive to be like.
I've known Mort 25 years, and when he was in the area, he used to live in Atlanta. I would see him from time to time, and he's always been great to me. He was a lot closer, knew my brother a lot better than he knew me, because my brother worked at ESPN for a decade and they spent some time together. But every time I met him, man that was kind, that was thoughtful, that was very considerate, very understanding, just full of energy, full of life, full of joy, always positive, always great things to say about everybody. And he's going to be sadly missed. I remember hearing his first diagnosis, and it was like, man, it just goes to show you that sometimes life can be so unfair, so cruel. Mm-hmm. But he handled it the way he fought every single day of his life with dignity, never succumbing, saying, oh, me, why me, pity me. But proud to say, call him a friend. Proud to say I've known him for 2.5 decades. Rest in peace, Mort. Rest in peace.
You know, you heard the news yesterday and just overwhelming sadness, because he had so much to give, not just as a reporter, but as a man, to his family, to his friends, to his ESPN family. And I know that a lot of times we see a lot of stuff in the news and you hear people, you know, chirping back and forth from time to time or whatever. But give ESPN credit. As a network, we strive to be a family. The people that we work with every day, I look at you guys, got a lot of love for you guys. And of course, you, Christine, and, you know, Molly and the team, and so many different people that have contributed to this show and this network. It's not an accident, Shannon, that you see people from all over the network constantly coming in and out of First Take, Get Up, and things like that, because we strive to get along and we strive to look out for one another and we strive to be there for one another. And from the time we heard the news about Chris Mortensen, Mort, that we affectionately called them, from 2016 and beyond, you know, obviously we were concerned about him, but we saw him, you know, just pile on through and continue to fight the good fight and to be as valiant as he has always been and as thorough as he has always been. It's not an accident that you see a guy like Larry Fitzgerald on that footage, you know, just expressing his love and affection for Mort, because Larry Fitzgerald is one of the classiest individuals you'll ever encounter. And you don't get praise like that from somebody like him, unless you're a beautiful, beautiful human being, which obviously Mort was. And so, you know, on behalf of the show and the network as a whole, we suffered a devastating loss when we heard the news yesterday. Our love and affection and our condolences go out to his family, his loved ones. But he was a member of our family, obviously, as well. And the network, no matter how great we strive to be and how great we aspire to be, it's a devastating loss, and there's no question about it. It's something that, you know, there's an empty, empty feeling today to know that he's no longer going to be here, because all of us valued him tremendously and we'll miss him dearly.
Yeah, certainly a tough day for the entire sports world. Mort is survived by his wife, Mickey, and son, Alex. Our thoughts and prayers, of course, are with them, as he will certainly never be forgotten.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof.
So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All right, I feel like a lot of records were not this weekend. Out in L.A., LeBron James continues to extend his NBA career into uncharted territory, reaching 40,000 career points on Saturday night. He came into the game against the Nuggets, needing 9 points to reach the mark, and got there in the second quarter, then finished with 26 points, putting his total at 40,017 career points. The Lakers would lose to the Nuggets 124-114. Now, you know that iconic picture of Wilt Chamberlain?
I just always just play the game, and I would just approach the game every day. I come to work, I prepare, I prep mentally, physically, spiritually every single night when it's time for me to play, and I just try to go out and contribute, and I've been able to do it for 21 plus years. I hate it that had to happen in a defeat, especially versus a team that plays extremely well basketball, and we played some good basketball tonight, but wasn't able to close it out. So bittersweet. I enjoyed every moment tonight, though, while on the floor.
Here is that iconic picture of Wilt Chamberlain, LeBron in a league of his own as well. Wilt's 100-point game was on March 2nd, 1962. That is 62 years ago to the day that LeBron scored his 40,000th. Stephen A., I'm going to start with you on this one. What do you make of LeBron hitting 40,000 points in a loss?
Not much. Didn't mean much to me. Because he's so phenomenal and he's so great over the course of his illustrious career. 40,000 points, yeah, that's fine. 21st season, I'm thinking about 21st season, 39 years of age. Right now, I mean, he's just piling up stats at age 39. This brother is averaging 25 a game. We haven't seen, and I'm Michael Jordan, as we all know, Andrea, and I've told Shannon this, I'm Michael Jordan is the greatest ever all day, every day. That is me. That's not changing. But here's what I will concede on national television to put a smile on Shay Shay's face. No one has ever been this good for this long. And that sentence right there, this good for this long, qualifies him to be in that debate discussion forever, because it hasn't happened. And so for me, when I see 40,000 points, career 27-point per game scorer, I'm like, yeah, I mean, playing this long, of course you will. But the conditioning, the exceptional manner in which he approaches his profession, it's just phenomenal. Here's the one thing that tarnishes it, Shannon. They opened the season after getting swept by the Denver Nuggets. They opened the season against the Denver Nuggets, a loss. The night that Kobe's statue was unveiled, a loss. If I remember correctly, the night that he surpassed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has become the all-time leading scorer, a loss. And then Saturday night, 40,000 points, a loss. Now, Anthony Davis, give him credit for this, because for some reason, once again, no matter how great he is, he goes up against Jokic, and Jokic shows up and he didn't, okay? But
at least he showed up to the press conference and echoed an accurate sentiment. Man, we got to find a way to win these damn games when we be breaking these records. Because every time they breaking something, every time they breaking a record, they also recording a loss. And that is what I don't like. But again, for LeBron, it's just the latest in an absolutely miraculous and stellar career.
Right, Stephen A., it's the longevity for me and the consistency that he has been able to put points on the board. It's been incredible. LeBron came into the league, 2003? I don't know what you were doing in 2003, but I was 10. I've done multiple things since 2003, none nearly as consistent as the one thing he has been able to do in the NBA, which is score and lead teams to success. So it's been incredible. Christine, I feel like I hear you laughing. I don't know what you were doing in 2003 either. But for me, the consistency.
I don't know if we want to know what Christine was doing.
He has been able to perform.
But go ahead. She's crazy. I don't know. We want to know. No, we don't want to know.
Don't listen to Stephen A. Go on, Dre.
Well, honestly, the losses to the Nuggets, the loss to the Nuggets doesn't bother me very much. The Nuggets, you were just talking about being on the same level as the Celtics. They're the repeating champions. They're the better team coming into this season. The Lakers are still trying to figure it out. But for LeBron to put up 26 on 60% from the field against the Nuggets, while setting this record, it's incredible. I think the record is an individual record. He had an amazing individual performance. The team has things to figure out. But the fact that it happened in a loss, to me, doesn't taint him hitting 40,000. No one's even hit 39,000. So it's just incredible what he's been able to do.
I agree with you, Andrea. It doesn't taint anything for me. 40,000 points. So let me ask you a question, Stephen A. In his last 2 years, how did Jordan look in them 2 years in Washington? How did Dirk look his last 2 years? How
didn't
did
look
Kobe
as good.
Look? How did they look his last? So now, anytime you break a record, if you do something historic, if you don't win the game, it means absolutely nothing.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not blaming LeBron for that, Shannon. I'm saying I'm ticked off at the rest of the Lakers who find a way to lose during these moments. That's what I'm not blaming him for that. I mean, because he's played good in each of those games. They haven't.
Think about this. There have been only 7 players to hit in the 30,000-point club. LeBron, Kareem, Karl Malone, Kobe, Jordan, Dirk, and Wilt. That's 0.00.14%. Think about that. Mm-hmm. There have been what? How many people you think played in the NBA? 5,000, Stephen A.? So we got 7 out of 5,000 that's hit that plateau. Nobody has hit 40,000. I'm not so sure if somebody will ever hit 40,000 again. Now, he's not done. I can see a scenario he plays another 2-3 years. So this number could theoretically be 43,000, 44,000. Granted, they lost the game. But you said coming into the year, the Lakers weren't very good. So you shouldn't be surprised that they lost to a team that you think can win the championship. You can't be disappointed when you don't have expectations. Normally, people only get disappointed. See, Cowboys fans get disappointed, Stephen A. Why? Because they have expectations. You and I don't have expectations for them, so we don't get disappointed when they lose. It's their fans, it's their players that have expectations. The number one killer of joy is expectations. When people have expectations of their kids and they disappoint them, if you know your kid been a mess up his entire life, why are you disappointed when he messes up again? That's the expectation that you have. LeBron James got 40,000 points and you sitting back there, they're frowning. Do you know you might not? I call him Halley's Comet. I don't know what you was doing in 1986, but my professor, science professor, Mr. Prentice Burkhalter, when I was in sixth grade, he said in 1986, Halley's Comet's coming. He says, watch it, because it's an occurrence that only happens once every 75 to 79 years. You better enjoy this. LeBron Halley Comet James did something you might not ever see, Stephen A. Smith.
Well, a couple of things. A couple of things that, because there's a couple of misnomers that you threw out there. First of all.
Ain't no misnomers.
And first of all, I was there. Where were you? I was there.
I was in the building. You weren't there. Exactly. Exactly. You ain't been there. Didn't I tell you that? I got on you about that last week. I was there. You were not. So that Haley Comet analogy ain't working. That's number one. Number two, you're damn right I could be disappointed. You know this better than me. I visit California. You live out here, okay? The bottom line is I got to look forward to going to Denver instead of Southern California come June. I'm not excited about that. That's number two. So that's a reason to be disappointed, okay? Number three. If you listen to what I said, Channing, what I said was his resume is so phenomenal and so great. Like, they were asking me this question Saturday. It changes anything. What does it do? It's just the latest because he's LeBron and we are at a point where we expect this because what other record is there to be broken? He'll break that too, okay? So the only thing left to look at is, all right, as a team, what y'all gonna do for him when he provides these moments? I mean, damn, can y'all step up and make sure that there's a celebratory mood in the locker room in the immediate aftermath of these occurrences, as opposed to him having to speak after a loss when these moments occur? It would be nice, because when we saw Magic and Kareem and everybody else doing great things with the Los Angeles Lakers, we also saw them closing the deal and winning. This team he has doesn't particularly do that for him. That's what I was saying.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Andre and I were not born in 1986 yet, as Shannon, just so you know. And then also I was 13 in 2003, 13 or 14. I don't know. I can't really do math. All right, Andre, see you this weekend in Durham. Love you lots.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.